The Wall Street Journal podcast are brought to you by American Express. No matter what you do, from business and finance to a podcast about business and finance, it's easier when you don't go it alone. The powerful backing of American Express. Don't do business without it.
Your Money Briefing. Money and market stories from the Wall Street Journal.
I'm J.R. Whalen in New York. We've got the story of investors who were swindled out of more than $100 million by a felon who set up shop in a strip mall in Nevada. That's coming up in a moment. First, these money headlines. Existing home sales fell 0.6% in June from May. That's the third straight month of declines, and it defies the strongest period for U.S. growth in years as rising mortgage rates and escalating prices at the lower end of the market drive away potential buyers. And at the same time, home inventory levels rose for the first time in 3 years. The slow sales were a concerning sign because spring is a critical time of the year for the housing market. March to June sales account for about 40% of annual home sales. Even if sales pick up later in the year, they're unlikely to make up for the lost ground. Meanwhile, rising energy costs are starting to seep into different corners of the U.S. economy, with drivers, manufacturers, and airlines seen as most vulnerable. Prices at the pump reached their highest levels since 2014 this year, as retail gas prices neared $3 a gallon, and in some parts of the country crossed $3.50. Since gas demand is relatively rigid, this could eat into other areas of consumer spending. Geopolitical risks and disruptions have driven crude higher this year, with prices briefly surpassing $75 a barrel this month. Still, oil prices are far below the high of about $140 per barrel that was reached in 2008. This is your Money Briefing from the Wall Street Journal.
The Wall Street Journal podcast are brought to you by American Express. No matter what you do, from business and finance to a podcast about business and finance, it's easier when you don't go it alone. The powerful backing of American Express. Don't do business without it.
Welcome back, everybody. About two dozen states are taking action against a company called Future Income Payments, which promised investors a more attractive return than they were currently receiving in traditional stock and bond markets. But there was a lot more to it, and now investors are facing more than $100 million in losses. Wall Street Journal reporter Gene Eaglesham is here with details. So, Gene, this company made very rosy promises and appeared to be a rather large operation. Is being run by pretty much one person?
Yeah, the company is essentially controlled by someone who is a felon. He got out of prison not that long ago. And it's been run from, we found the address, links from a mailbox at a UPS store in a strip mall in Nevada. So they said they had a global footprint. They made it sound very impressive. Actually, it's a tiny operation, and yet it's created these outsized losses.
Can you give us an idea as to the operation here and how the promises were made and how people wound up being just swindled out of so much money?
Sure. This company was operating in a pretty obscure corner of the private markets. And what it was doing, these things are called pension advances. So they essentially found retired workers and said, we'll give you a loan against your benefits. So say you'd say, okay, I'll pay you, say, $450 for my benefits every year for 5 years. And in return, they get a loan for just a fraction of that amount. And the states have said, actually, the percentage rates here will be 100%, 200%, well in excess of what are meant to be the limits on loans.
Oh, wow. Almost too good to be true.
Exactly. So they bought the pensions that way, and then they sold them on to investors and said to investors, okay, you give us a lump sum, we'll give you a fixed income, say 7% for 5 years, and that was supposedly paid by these people's pensions. So it was presented as a safe investment, and we found investors who really didn't have that much money, and they were persuaded by advisors to trust their own retirement savings to supposedly get this fixed income.
And the elderly and those who are retired were the ones who were targeted here?
Certainly a lot of them, yeah. It was retired workers, people who, you know, didn't have that much money, but it was presented, as I say, as being a safe fixed income, an alternative to the stock market. And unfortunately, it was all being controlled by this tiny firm. Because it's private markets, there aren't the same rules and oversight that one gets with the public stock markets and bonds. And what's happened now is this company out of the strip mall appears to be no longer operating. Certainly, it's not answering its phones. It's not clear where Scott Cohn, the fellow who ran the company, actually is. We couldn't get hold of him. And this has left investors in the lurch. So their monthly payments that they were promised have stopped. It's not clear how they're going to get their money back now.
And this man, Scott Cohn, he sold these private market products to financial advisors in a lot of situations who then in turn offered them to their clients. So there was an added level of what seemed to be legitimacy here.
That's exactly right. These products were sold through a national sales chain, and there were insurance agents, there were financial advisors, independent advisors who are registered with the Securities and Exchange Commission, there were middlemen companies, there were some big firms here who were selling these things, who a lot of them portrayed themselves as specializing in retirement planning. And so that, exactly as you say, gave it the veneer of credibility. I think investors trusted these advisors. And one of the big questions now is, what checks did those advisory firms do? How come they didn't just, you know, go online, find out this guy's background, check what we did, which is just put the address in and up comes a strip mall? And immediately one would think there has to be some question marks. But actually, it looks like hundreds of millions of dollars of this product was sold without anyone looking at all those red flags.
Now, there are private market products that are sold to financial advisors that then are sold to clients that are on the up and up and are legitimate. Is that right?
Oh, totally. And this is a huge market. Private investors are a massive market. It covers everything, you know, from stakes in private companies to some funds. And most of it is legitimate. It can perform very well. It can give good returns. I think that the lesson here really is that these markets are lightly regulated. There aren't the same requirements to disclose information. So it's just investors maybe need to be even more careful if their advisor is trying to push them one of these products, because they also do tend to include the private markets, some products like this that are paying pretty high commissions.
There were hints back in April, you mentioned in your story, that there might be trouble on the horizon in a letter that Scott Cohn sent to investors.
Yeah, certainly. He wrote out to investors and he said that the company was coming under intense regulatory and legal pressure. He said they'd made that month's payments, but might not be able to. And he claimed at that time that investors had been warned that they wouldn't necessarily get all their payments. Now, certainly lawyers we've spoken to who represent investors say there were no such warnings, and marketing presentation we've seen, there were no such disclosures of the risks. So really by April, it was unfortunately too late for investors to do much about it.
You know, this all brings up memories, and not the same thing, but it brings up memories of the Bernie Madoff affair. You go back about 10 years. Is that a fair assessment?
I think certainly in terms of people being promised something that looked legitimate, that seemed to be a reasonable income, and certainly in terms of people trusting advisors and then being left in the lurch, the problem is we do see these frauds repeatedly, or what appears in this case to be a potential fraud. We see these problems repeatedly. And as I say, the main thing for investors is to, you know, just be wary.
And in your story, I really encourage folks to go see the story. See Gene's story on WSJ.com. You spoke with people. It's just heartbreaking how these retirees are nearly wiped out of almost everything.
It is incredibly sad. I mean, and the investors we, you know, quote in the article, one's a retired teacher, one's a retired mail person. She said, you know, she earned this money through days of slogging through the heat, you know, sweat, tears, so much work to build up these retirement savings. And now they don't know, you know, where it's gone or if they'll ever get it back.
Well, definitely check out the story on WSJ.com. That is Wall Street Journal reporter Gene Eaglesham joining us here in our studio. Gene, thanks for being with us.
My pleasure.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen in New York for the Wall Street Journal.